Dapper Message in the Bottle. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joining us on the telephone this afternoon. Hello there, Mr. Meehan.
I have something to hide. I shouldn't have hidden it. Should have I? Wow, that was harder than I thought it would be.
Yeah, yeah.
Hi, everybody in Radioland and Rich and Carrie and Zone Land. How's everybody doing? Good?
We're fabulous. A little colder than we would like today, but we got spoiled yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know what to do anymore. No. My body is in complete shock. I feel like I've got some weird thyroid problem or something. It's unbelievable. The funnier thing is when you step out in the morning, like I just kind of generically wear the same thing when I walk right at 5:30 a.m. And some days you step out and you're like, wow, I'm not wearing enough. And then other days you're like, I'm going to die of sweat. Okay. The temperature swings are literally the stuff of fantasy. But it's what it is. This is the life we've chosen.
It is. No complaints.
I mean, I moved here, so.
Yeah. I mean, I could have gone someplace tropical like New Hampshire.
Yeah. Man, speaking of tropical, pretty much every one of my friends is in a tropical place right now, and I hate them all.
I know.
I'm going to say that out loud. None of you are listening to me because there's no way. So I can say that out loud. But yes, you have all earned my animosity.
I see the pictures of them, and I'm sort of happy for them. But then, like yesterday, I loved it. I'm like, hey, you suckers spent all that money. It's beautiful right here. Today, not so much.
Yeah. Also, and I have no proof of this, I'm probably wrong, but I feel like in Antigua or something, if I walked around the block, I wouldn't see so much revealed dog poop. That's the thing I can do without.
Anyway, true.
Moving on. Hey, I want to hit something before I hit wine today. This is a non sequitur ish, but everybody knows that I'm a huge Giants fan, and you all know that I love the sports. And this show, at least at one point, 5 minutes ago, has a sometimes sports bent. And I just want to point this out. So my team, which struggles with a lot of things, has done two things very right recently that really kind of got brushed aside. So obviously, I'm sure all of you know about the Brian Flores lawsuit, the fact that the Rooney Rule, which is the rule that says you have to interview two minority candidates for head coaching vacancies, etc. They've floated, maybe if you hire a minority coach, we'll give you a compensatory third. All of this, and obviously, it's not working very well because I don't think that you can incentivize morality and ethics. I don't personally believe that. Like, I believe that if you're going to hire the right person, regardless of who they are, you're going to do that because you're going to do that. So the Giants took another. There's a minority in football that is massively underrepresented, and that is the one with different chromosomes than men.
Mm.
And I just want to commend the Giants. They have hired not one, but two females to their ranks under Brian Daboll. So whether or not there's any truth to the ugly rumor that maybe the Giants had interviewed Brian, okay, I don't know. And that's probably going to come out in court. But it speaks very well. So I'll say their names, by the way. First hired was Laura Young. Laura Young is the director of coaching operations. Now, I don't know anything about the hierarchy, but that sounds kind of important to me, and that's pretty cool. And then Angela Baker was just hired just a couple days ago, and again, this kind of got sort of brushed aside with all the other nonsense. She is a minority coaching fellow, so again, not just a woman, but a minority. And she's an offensive quality, whatever they call them, coordinator or whatever. Now, again, they don't sound for maybe like impressive positions or whatever, but it's not that it's an impressive, it's that it's a start. And it wasn't necessitated by any lawsuits. It was necessitated by morals and ethics and the fact that 50% of our population is women and they have unbelievable brains and they're not being used. used. And the Giants are like, that's stupid. So well done, New York Football Giants.
Indeed.
For starting the process that has not been talked about much, but is equally as important as the other stuff that is getting all the headlines. Now, we're finishing up February. I've sort of given up on my calendar of what we talk about for wine, but last week I kind of raged against this whole idea that, you know, sugar-free wines and low-calorie wines. And it's funny because as I'm looking at my notes for today from last year, apparently I was just starting to hear about them then too, and I raged against them. So at least I'm consistent. But what I want to keep talking about before we get up into June and talk, you know, do our world tour is the ins and outs of what wine is. So today I'll just speak a little bit about natural wines, organic, and biodynamic, etc. Because this is getting an ever broader definition. Even when I started doing this segment with Rich, almost probably about a decade ago at this point, it was a little bit more cut and dried. Now you have pretty much every local contingent doing their own purity consortium, right? So, like, you have Salmon Safe in Oregon. You have things popping up in the Pfalz region of Germany, in Catalonia. All these little individual sites that are trying to, I'm not going to say wrest away control from the central government, because, of course, your central government, your USDA in this case, in the case of the U.S., is the one that sort of defines the health dictates. But there's a lot of, like I said, localized movements to say, okay, that's nice that the government thinks this, but I think we can all agree that sometimes the government definitions of things are maybe not exactly what is currently viewed as intelligent. So there's been a lot of saying, for instance, let's talk organic really quick. The definition loosely, no chemical pesticides or fungicides, 3-year transition period, right? So you've got to take your fields that were, and you've got to make them fallow. Then you've got to do planning, have inspections, et cetera, which costs a lot of money. That's the truth. But other things, for instance, and I've said this a lot, copper and lime fungicide is considered organic, but copper, can prevent germination of fungal spores, but it can also pollute the groundwater. So, for instance, the Salmon Safe thing that I was mentioning over in Oregon, for instance, they're discouraging the use of copper sulfite because it is getting into the fish population. And that's bad for those people. And you're starting to see a lot of understanding that it really is. And speaking of what we'll speak of next, which is biodynamic agriculture, which is a very holistic thing, people are really, really starting to understand, whether through litigation or simple, going back to what I was just talking about, morality and ethics, that you nothing is in a bubble. So even though the government says, well, this is allowed, maybe it shouldn't be, and maybe we need to transition away from that. So you're seeing a lot of that, like I said, on a localized scale. So organic is kind of losing some of its meaning. I don't know if that's good or bad, but it's a thing. And then, as I was just mentioning, and I'm sure I probably have 2 or 3 minutes left.
3 minutes.
Okay. What I was just mentioning is biodynamism, which is like organic, but sort of this holistic overtones, which I think are really sort of seeping into winemaking. It's just a new generation of people who have a different sort of spiritual connection to why they're making wine in the first place. It's no longer simply because it's what my family's done forever. There's a lot of people who are getting into it for the first time, getting into it because they're passionate, getting into it for a lot of different reasons. And they're not all, you know, multi-gazillionaires. So biodynamism, or biodynamic agriculture, based on a course that a guy named Rudolf Steiner gave in Berlin in the 20s. And basically, the premise of this is that the health of the vineyards and land overall is the primary focus. In other words, you can't chop off an arm and have your body be whole and healthy. Like, you've got to maintain health everywhere in your body, or you can't have a cancerous growth or something. Eventually, it's going to infect everything and affect you. Very much the same concept with this. If you have, for instance, bees, perfect example. If you're lacking pollination, you're screwed. So there's a lot of that. Anyway, I'm sure I'm running out of time, so I will continue with that more perhaps next week. Just want to mention to everybody, we are still asking people to mask up. I'm so psyched that the numbers are going down. Well done, people. But please do continue to mask up in the store, or of course we can do curbside for you if you like. And beyond that, please take care of each other, and I will talk to you all, I suppose, next week.
That sounds like a fine plan. Thanks, Eric.
All righty. Thanks, gentlemen.
Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Message in the Bottle every Tuesday here on the program.